across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Hope life is treating you well in the summer in the Northern Hemisphere, the winter in the Southern Hemisphere. But always weird, isn't it now? All the seasons seem to be getting mixed up one way and another. Some mornings I wake up here and it's cold for the time of year. As I'm speaking to you right now, the skies are grey. It's not hot. It's quite warm. But what it is all the time now is humid, and it was the same last year. And the humidity gets to you after a while. You know, I mean, I'm not going to complain. I love summer. But, you know, it's weird. That's it. I always talk about the weather, but nice to hear from you when you tell me about how things are where you are, whichever part of the world that you're in. Thank you for all of your emails that keep bouncing into my inbox. Please know that I do see all of your emails, and if your email requires a specific response, then of course I'll get right back to you. A couple of shout-outs. Ollie in Mullumbimby, Australia. Great name. Mullumbimby. I've got to look that up on the map. Good to hear from you, Ollie. Thanks for what you said. Jay Palmer wanted a shout-out. Jay, Julie Dunn, you see I deliver, Jay. Mark in South Ribble, good to hear from you. Kind words from James, not far away from him, in Oldham. James, did I ever tell you when I spent a week on the air in Oldham when Steve Penk relaunched the Revolution 96.2 in Oldham about a decade ago, just over? I spent a week doing breakfast morning drive news with Steve on his new radio station that he'd bought. And it was, I had a blast in Oldham. I didn't know Oldham at all. And I went driving up towards the Pennines at the end of my shift in the afternoons. Yeah, I had a great time that week. Stayed in the Travelodge there. I know how to live. Also, Ian in Scotland, nice photograph, Ian. Thank you for it. That's a photograph you should submit somewhere, I think. It's a photograph of the sunset in June over the Faslane Naval Base. And as I say, great picture. I'm much into photography, and I love that. Thank you very much. If you want to get in touch with me, go to my website, designed and created by Adam from Creative Hotspot in Liverpool. It is theunexplained.tv. Follow the link to contact me, and you can do so from there. And if you can put in the subject line maybe what your email's about, it just makes things a little bit easier. Please know that I do see every single email that comes in, and if your email requires a response, of course it will get one. Okay, the topic under discussion in this edition of The Unexplained, something from my radio show that I wanted to record here for posterity on the podcast. Response just over a week on from the big UFO report. We're going to hear from three people whose opinions I value about this. The interim report, as you know, landed on that fateful Friday in Washington, D.C. The media underreported it, I think, at the time in the UK. They came to it a couple of days later, but not at the time. But it certainly made headlines around the world. The report, of course, the interim report. There's going to be another bigger report down the track away. But it said that of 144 cases considered, 143 were, quotes, unexplained. And I wasn't sure at the time how far on that takes us. So I wanted to get some perspective from three people. Steve Bassett, first up, from the Paradigm Research Group. Short conversation with him, and then a longer conversation with the great George Knapp, who needs absolutely no introduction, of course, from KLAS-TV in Las Vegas, a man who has pounded the UFO beat and the ET beat and the back engineered technology beat for decades now, and is one of the most respected people and, you know, a great guy. And it's been a long time since I've had a chance to speak with him, so you're going to hear from him, together with Jeremy Corbell, regular guest on this show too. So, these are the most interesting of times in this subject. Are we going to get closer to some kind of revelation? Maybe, is the answer. I think it's more of a maybe, and it's a stronger maybe than it's ever been. So I think we just have to watch this space as this strange year of 2021 develops. I have a feeling we're in a situation where they, the authorities, cannot back away from this now. You know, the horses have bolted from the stable and they're running free. So let's see. You know, what do I know about anything? Only history will show us the truth of these things. Okay, so from my radio show, let's hear first from Steve Bassett.
Look, it's a very complicated thing unfolding here. in a short amount of time, I can say this. The report that was delivered to the public on the 25th is not that important. They had to put something out to the public. They said they would. It wasn't much. They've indicated that another report will follow in 90 days. But the real, what was most important is what went to the Congress. And that went to the Congress around the 16th. The classified report was delivered to the House Intel and House and Senate Intel and the House and Senate Armed Services around the 16th, 17th of June. They've already had that now for 13 days. And that was 73 pages. And that's what's important. What was put out on the 25th to the public was of not much consequence. It pretty much said what had been leaked to the New York Times on June the 3rd, that they looked at the cases, they couldn't see anything that was extraterrestrial, but the technology that was represented was not something that the United States had, which are profound statements and only partially true. But nevertheless, and there was some other jargon in there and a lot of acronyms, but it was six pages, two appendices, and a cover page. So a lot of people were pretty upset about it, but I'm looking past that. It's what's gone to Congress. And what's important there is that too many people have that report. Too many people were given it, and it's going to leak. And there may have already been a first leak. And this went to Richard Dolan. Now, he has already talked about it on his podcast and says that the source he trusts, but he cannot confirm. So is this legitimate from that classified report? We can't say for sure. But I have a feeling it probably is.
Okay, Richard Dolan's been on this show. He is well respected in the community.
Yes.
What is the tenor of the leak?
Well, I'll give it to you real fast, very quickly. This is what, and apparently whoever did this kind of wrote it down and then gave it to, then passed it on to him, some form, might have been an email. It's not like a copy of anything. It says the classified portion of the UAP report given to select members of the Congress and Senate relates to the following: energy pulse propulsion systems, PPS projects, ion propulsion systems, IPS, anti-gravity propulsion systems, anti-matter propulsion systems, ramjet hydrogen propulsion systems, RHPSs, compressed nuclear propulsion systems, advanced use of exotic elements for energy research, ET-related items, and number eight, the Kaesong Energy Propulsion System Research Project, KERSPR. And then this paragraph, and this is what's important. All these highly classified projects are under the control of the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA, and being managed by a classified group called Advanced Group 6. All funding for these projects is black confidential funds appropriated under intelligence operations costs. Some of the funds come from private contractors. Prototypes of flying craft utilizing the above technology are being flown at Area 51 and Tonopah Air Force Base test running. That's the whole Nellis system over there. Some of the UAPs observed in and around Nevada can be attributed, and this is where it's interesting. It's a typo. It should say attributed, but it says contributed, which I think is notable. Attributed to craft using the above propulsion systems. However, none of the experimental crafts have flown outside the Nellis test range and test and training range. None of these experimental crafts can be attributed to the sightings photographed by the U.S. Navy. So let me be clear. If that is from the classified report, that is huge.
Now, you know that our time is limited here tonight. But that is massive, as you say. You know, if there is apparent back-engineered technology flying around Area 51 or whatever it might be, there is some technology. This kind of confirms, if it is so, a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about for years here. So what do you think? This report has gone to Congress, and if that's in it, how will they be deliberating over that now?
They have a decision to make. Look, the cat's out of the bag. We're not going backward. I know that there's this thing happening and that thing happening. Some people are concerned it's going to get dragged on. No. We are now way past where we've ever been before. You've got a lot of people in Congress at key committees that have classified material. More is coming in 90 days. We may not make it 90 days. We may have hearings before that. One member of Congress in one of those key committees has already said we need to have hearings. Others are probably going to say that. And there's going to be more leaks from that classified report. I just don't think they're going to be able to contain it. And so I think the ONI knows this. The DOD knows this. It was kind of a cooperative process going on in which we're ultimately trying to resolve a complicated thing, which leads to hearings. And so the question is timing. Well, the Senate went on recess on the 26th. They'll be back on the 12th. The House had a couple more days, and then it's coming back later in the month. When the Senate comes back, they'll be in session all the way to August the 7th. So I expect action when they get back, and I expect the call for hearings to start coming. And then the question is, how much media intention is going to be focused on that, and how much does that encourage the members to move forward aggressively and not try to postpone this thing anymore? Because we need to get these hearings now.
Steve Bassett, who's doggedly campaigned for the end of the truth embargo for so very long. I first met him a long time ago when he was addressing a conference in Liverpool, and we got to know each other then at that point and have been speaking ever since. So that's Steve from the Paradigm Research Group. Now let's hear my conversation with George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell. I think you're going to be interested in what you hear here.
I think we're in a historic time. Things are going on now. The perspective on UFOs and the UFO phenomenon, the UFO presence on planet Earth, is different now than it ever has been before. For the first time in history, the United States government is openly admitting that the UFO problem requires scientific study. That's what the report concluded.
But of course, this is the unclassified bit. There is another bit that might contain more interesting stuff. We don't know what's in that. I'm getting the feeling here, and I think certainly in the United Kingdom, they're getting the feeling that we're only a little ways down the road, but at least we're a little way further down the road than we were a year ago.
Yeah, I think George can speak on that. The idea that we saw an unclassified version of a much longer classified report that we know has 14 videos in, and that everybody watched it. There were comments like, it was like watching a sci-fi movie. So the classified report is very robust.
George Knapp, nice to speak with you again. George, you've given a big portion of your life to investigating this stuff. Do you think we are reaching peak UFO?
I don't think we're close to peak UFO. It's the peak for the 30 plus years that I've been into it, for sure. I mean, I never believed we would get to this point in my lifetime. And it's an astonishing series of events that led us to this point where the major media organizations here in the U.S. and around the world are finally paying attention to it. That provided political cover for our members of Congress to start asking questions, to receive classified briefings, to authorize the UAP task force to be officially created, even though there was an organization that was already underway. And I think it's just the start of what's to come. You mentioned, Howard, that we're only a little ways down this road, and I have to agree that the classified version of the report that members of Congress have been able to see is way more information than the public was allowed to see. But I think even Congress has not been allowed to see the bulk of what's out there, what's been collected over the years. There are keepers of the secrets, the really good stuff, the goodies, who have not been heard from in this effort so far. I think it's going to be really hard to get them to give up what they know. I think even the UAP task force is dealing with a very narrow window of the material that is available that's been collected in secret by our government and by defense contractors over the years. We haven't got close to cracking that yet, so I look forward to what comes next.
Has it ever struck you, George, as incongruous, I'm sure it has, that this is the same government that allegedly, if you believe the UFO thread over all of these decades and our interest in these things, you know, this is the same government that allegedly has the bodies, has the exotic materials, maybe has the craft, has been back engineering, and yet they are commissioning a report like that? They seem to be working on two different levels here.
Well, that's true. You know, the government is not a monolithic entity. The military is not a monolithic entity. There are stovepipes of information, silos of information. It's necessary in an organization as big as the Pentagon that you restrict access to certain information. I think the number of people who know the full story of UFOs, bodies, craft, is very small inside the Pentagon, that a lot of the most sensitive stuff has been moved outside the purview of public agencies into private hands. So yeah, there's the Pentagon. I think the people who worked on that task force report are being honest and open. Their attitude is a dramatic shift from what we've seen in the past, where the military speaks behind closed doors and says, this is a serious issue. It's not ours. It's from somewhere else. We need to figure this out. It is a legitimate possible threat to national security. That's what they say behind closed doors. And then to the public, they say, there's nothing to it. Move along. There's no value in studying it. Now, at least we have a Pentagon that's willing to say, this is a serious matter. It could be a threat to national security. It is a danger to our pilots, and we need to study it. That dramatic shift in attitude is really important for me, but it is not even close to getting to the real goodies. You're right. The U.S. government as a whole is not being consistent in what it has said about UFOs. But the information is siloed. It's stovepipe. The number of people who know the real story is very small, and we haven't got close to cracking that yet. I hope that's where the study and the investigation is headed, but it's a long way to go.
Who do you think, and how, made the decision that the public was ready to hear this stuff, George? You must be hearing things.
I don't know that it was one person. There have been people in the Pentagon who wanted this to happen. The investigations did not stop when, for example, OSAP, the DIA program, lost its funding back in 2012. There was a continuation, what we now call ATIP. That's always been underway. People within the Pentagon who felt that this was a legitimate interest, a legitimate subject for inquiry, and that it deserved to be studied, and that the public deserves to know at least some of it. That's always been true. They've been given support by media coverage. The New York Times story that exploded in December of 2017 started an avalanche of other coverage by major news organizations that got the interest of Congress. And they have been conducting an inquiry ever since behind closed doors. It's a whole combination of things that led to what we're seeing unfold right now. I don't think there was a president who decided we're going to open this up, or a member of Congress, although I do give props to our Senator Harry Reid for getting the ball rolling. It's a whole combination of different events that led us to where we are now, and we have to hope that the public stays engaged so that we continue to make progress.
Well, that points up an interesting dichotomy between the way this issue has been handled here in the UK and the way it's been handled in the US. If I tell you that on the day that interim report was out, which I had eagerly awaited, as we all had for these months, but that's because I do what I do, the mainstream media in the UK didn't bother much with this story. Many news bulletins over here, it slipped off the agenda. And I think there's an attitude over here that maybe there's nothing to see here. So I think you're right. The public has to be kept engaged with this issue because we've reached a certain momentum with it. How do you think we're going to do that, George?
That I don't know. I mean, I saw a little crack in the dam, so to speak, of that House of Lords debate the other day in the UK, where members of Parliament were standing up and expressing their opinions. That, I would think, I hope it got some news coverage in the UK. You have to tell me. It has to be people who are interested, who have authority, to go ahead and step forward, suck up their courage, and say, we need to get to the bottom of this. I mean, I think the UK, to a large extent, takes its cues from the US, at least at the government level, about how to handle the UAP issue. So hopefully the UK Ministry of Defense will ease up a little bit and share some additional information. I've never believed that the files that they released contain all the information that they have behind the scenes. The public has to keep pushing. You know, there is clearly a public interest in this subject in the UK. We got so many of our listeners and viewers are from the UK who wonder the same question that you're asked. Why isn't the UK media covering this more? And I don't know. But if they keep pushing at it, I think your media organizations will have to respond.
I think the UK media doesn't cover a lot of this because they just don't understand it. And that's something that we're going to have to work on. But the UK government, according to media reports this week, says that it has no plans to release a report similar to the one that was released in America, which is disappointing. But as you say, George, it was gratifying that the House of Lords, which is the second chamber over here, they tend to debate more esoteric subjects at times, like the threat from asteroids. But at least they got into this issue this week. And I think that's good news for keeping this subject alive here.
Well, you know, it's always been viewed as a career killer for politicians, for journalists. Howard, you know that. You know, it's not something that enhances your credibility. It's the same for pilots, military folks. No one wants to be the UFO pilot, just as no one really wants to be the UFO reporter or politician. So, you know, it's going to take some courage on the part of members of parliament to step forward and to demand some answers from the Ministry of Defense and some inquiries and some cooperation with the U.S. Department of Defense, I think.
Jeremy, I'm going to come back to you in just a second. But George, last one for you for now. You know, this is a fascinating time. It is a time of, I think there's a sort of critical momentum going on here. But I think a lot of us are baffled as to what happens next. I understand that this is an interim report, and I am told by people like Nick Pope that the work on getting the good stuff out there, the work on a report that will have more substantive information and firmer conclusions, is underway. Is that what you understand?
Yes. Yeah, so on a couple of levels. One is, after that UAP task force report was released to the public, all 9 pages of it, there was a directive that came out of the Pentagon that was, in my view, more important than what was in the report. And that directive instructed the entire American military institution, all branches of the services, to get on board. It was put out in pretty plain language that we want this investigation to go forward. So when there are UAP cases, when there are sightings by pilots or radar hits by ships, things of that sort, that information needs to be forwarded to a central belly button. They designated the task force as the place to send that information. That's one level. The second level is, there is a major effort underway behind the scenes with Congress to create a permanent study, an ongoing permanent budgeted study, unlike this task force, which had very little authority and almost zero resources. This program, to be funded by Congress, would be a permanent organization that would have a wide berth to investigate the UFO issue, to follow the evidence where it leads, presumably, hopefully, to be able to have subpoena power to force the release of information from organizations and entities that don't want to give it up, and to be able to share that information with the public. That's why I say our public needs to stay engaged, to keep Congress engaged, to keep the military engaged, so that a funding for such a program and support for such a program could go further. There has to be a third level, though, as well. And I don't know what's going to happen on that. There has to be orders from probably at least the Secretary of Defense or the President to force the release of the goodies, the good stuff, to reestablish control over the materials that were handed off to defense contractors a long time ago. There aren't many people in government today who even know about it, who believe that that is real, who have any information about where that material is stored or who has the evidence.
Now, isn't that interesting? Because I'm sure there will be, all these corporations have to keep records. So whichever corporation it is, if you go back far enough in the files, surely that material is going to be there.
I would think so. I hope so. But, you know, there's been a lot of subterfuge and games played with this subject over the decades. So it's not going to be an easy task to force the keepers of the secrets to turn that stuff back over. And, they, you know, it's only a short little list of possible suspects who might have it, as you know.
Indeed. Jeremy, thank you for waiting so patiently. And George, thank you. I want to come back to you at the end briefly. So, Jeremy, we talked about the good stuff. This week you have released some more of what you think and George thinks is the good stuff. This is some footage, not just video, though. I understand multi-levels of data from the USS Omaha in 2019. It looks like that vessel is being buzzed by a number of lights in the sky, strange objects.
Yeah, well, indeed, this is the good stuff. Look, we always talk about, we have military cases with multiple types of sensor and visual data, that that's the best. Well, what we have here with the USS Omaha, it's not only thermal, FLIR, forward-looking infrared visual that George and I released, but it's also radar footage and classified briefings that were unclassified, so we were able to obtain and release those. And then finally, actual visual footage from the deck of the USS Omaha. Now, all of these videos, all of this content, including the images that George Knapp released, all of this, this has been confirmed by the Pentagon as being filmed by our military and part of the UFO investigations officially. The last piece to this puzzle is the footage from the deck of the USS Omaha, which we released on Tuesday. That has yet to be confirmed by the Pentagon. However, if they don't confirm it, and I mean rapidly, there are ways to push that forward. So this footage is important because it represents a very unique scenario where UFOs were swarming our Navy warships, not just the USS Omaha, but indeed 9 different war vessels within a 100-mile radius simultaneously. We're talking 50 to 100 plus of these UFOs. So having all of this different kind of visual evidence is what makes for a historic case.
And in terms of the behavior, I've seen the video, but perhaps my listener hearing this right now won't have. In terms of the behavior of these UAPs, does it chime in? Does it accord with the behavior of the famous Tic Tacs?
I think more importantly, what it shows is this corroborative sensor data of unidentifieds. We don't know where they took off from. We don't know where they landed. One appears to descend into the water, and there was a submarine that searched for it. There was no wreckage. They found no vehicle. Or what it's showing is an object that is somehow cloaking itself in the thermal range. So in these videos, there's many of them. Everything you've been seeing on the news is what George and I have released. Collectively, when you look at the big 360 picture of what's going on, this is, for me, some of the best UFO evidence of all time, confirmed by the United States Pentagon. That's for me. That's a personal, because I worked on the case, it's a personal feeling. I've also talked to a lot of witnesses who have yet to come forward. But if our government is not willing to confirm that last video, then they're in for a surprise.
You mean you're going to bring forward witnesses who will do the confirmation for them?
Most certainly, Howard.
How long are you giving them?
I don't know. I'm a generous guy. Let's give it a couple weeks.
You know, I spoke with you first not long after I'd spoken with Jacques Vallée, who, of course, is a veteran of these things. He is one of the pathfinders. He said, and I want to get your take on this just briefly, Jeremy, he said that what we need now at this crucial time in our history is an international effort. So we put together the expertise, we put together the reports in all the different languages, on every location, in every corner of this planet, which we haven't done. There's no coordination. Now is the time that we need to do this. And at the moment, as is so often the case, America is taking the lead. But do you think that this needs now to go international?
Of course, we need an international effort. We also need a public international effort. UFO transparency is the key here. As one of my good friends, we call UFO Jesus, he said, we can handle the truth. We can't handle the lies. So where we are now, yes, I would agree with Jacques Vallée that we need an international study of the UFO topic. This is what is in fact proposed, scientifically proposed by the UAP task force, that we do have a study on the scope and scale, I'm hoping, of the Manhattan Project. Now, look, we have to share information in order to really understand. George has said something numerous times, which is that you can't tell your friends something without telling your enemies. And that has always rung true for me, that I understand some things need to be held back. But the basic premise that on planet Earth, UFOs have been flying within our restricted airspaces over nuclear missile silos with impunity. This fact, this truth, is something the American public has a right to know, a need to know, and I personally feel a duty to find out. So yes, absolutely, this is the time to have a study on the scope and scale of the Manhattan Project.
And this is like a coin, really. There are two sides to this, and you can flip it either way. You know, 144 cases in this interim report, 143 come out as unexplained. You can either look at that as saying, well, you know, we're no further on then, or you can say this is a major step forward. I know which side of this, that coin you're on.
Yeah, this is a major step forward. And remember, we were not shown any of those cases in any detail in the unclassified report. Look, if you bottom line it, the UFO topic, the UFO subject, the UFO mystery, the UFO problem, this is the greatest lapse in national security. This is the greatest lapse in just absolute information intelligence gathering that we have ever had, because we're not sharing the information to try to get to the bottom of this. That time has come and gone. It is time to open the books on the UFO problem. It is time for us to work together and to figure out who is operating these craft. What is their intent?
And that is, you know, the $64,000 question. That's inflation for you. George Knapp, like I said, you have given so much of your time to being a leader in this. You know, a lot of us have followed your lead, have watched with interest your interviews with the important people, your investigations of places like Area 51 and all that stuff. How are you preparing for what may be to come? Are you doing research that you will reveal at the point at which they say, actually, there is something in this and we believe this may well be extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional in origin? And, you know, how is George Knapp preparing for that?
Well, I'm just a plotter, Howard. I just plot along. I try to dig up what I can and confirm it and then share it with the world. Jeremy and I have a lot of stuff on our plate, a lot of material that we're analyzing and trying to confirm before we release it, but I'm just plodding away one step at a time. You know, this is difficult. It's a difficult thing to get your head around. Right now, every news organization in the world is likely, maybe not the BBC, but is likely assigned somebody to learn about UFOs, to be on the UAP beat. And it's a steep learning curve. There's so much to absorb and get your head around. So it takes some time. You know, what we lose sight of is it does need to be an international effort, of course, because it's a global phenomenon. It's been seen and reported in every culture on every continent throughout human history to one degree or another. Now, we didn't have radar and photographs back in a century or two ago. So we don't have the same level of information and evidence from those kind of cases. But it's pretty clear it's been with us a long time. I think our government, our military, has some legitimate national security concerns and legitimate reasons for not sharing everything that they've got, namely the technology. There is a race underway to figure this out, and it's involved the U.S., the U.K., Russia, China for some time. Those nations are all trying to figure out if they can duplicate that technology, because whoever gets it first wins. There's no getting around it. If you've got a Tic Tac or a fleet of Tic Tacs, you own the world. You control what happens in our future. So I think that is a large degree what's responsible for the current levels of secrecy. We just have to keep plugging away and tell the story as much as we can. Jeremy and I have acquired some really sensitive information, and we've always tried to be careful, as I have throughout my career, careful that you don't cross national security. I don't want to put my country at risk or leak some information that benefits the Russians or the Chinese over the Allies, over the NATO countries. So you have to be careful. There's also the big elephant in the room. A friend of mine, Robert Hastings, who wrote the book, literally and figuratively, on UFOs and nukes, he came out with a new article today that reminded everyone that wasn't even mentioned in the UAP Task Force report. It shows how limited a scope that report really had. UFOs and nukes is the whole ball game, in a sense, that whoever these craft are have shown this incredible interest in our nuclear technology, especially nuclear weapons, since the late 1940s. They've disabled the nuclear ICBMs. They've enabled Russian ICBMs. It's pretty scary. It's a legitimate issue. And our national leaders, yours and ours, need to get on top of it.
And you believe that the public, both sides of the Atlantic, is ready to hear whatever is there.
Yeah, you know, Howard, there have been peaks and valleys of public interest in UFOs over the decades. You know, it rises and falls. I think it's important that the public needs to stay engaged right now. And part of what Jeremy and I are doing is keeping them engaged. We put out stories that keeps it in the forefront of their minds over a period of time. They need to stay engaged so that our government gets serious about funding an ongoing study and maybe expanding it to the rest of the world. There's going to be pushback. There are people right now trying to kill this. They're trying to dissuade members of Congress. They're trying to dissuade higher ups in the Pentagon from taking this seriously. And they will really get serious once there is a concerted effort to go after what I call the goodies. So, yeah, there's never been a more important time to stay in focus on this issue. And I hope that's what happens with the public, especially, we're talking on what is World UFO Day, I think, July 2nd, the supposed date of the Roswell crash.
The day we're recording that is World UFO Day, which ties into it nicely. How many superlatives can you use? It is an astonishing time. It's a time that we never thought that we would live to see. You said that there were some efforts to sideline this, to kind of put the lid on it. Who do you think would do that?
There's a variety of people. Some of them we've described in previous reports. I told you, I've reported about Skinwalker Ranch and the OSAP program. The program was funded and managed by the Defense Intelligence Agency, and the contract was given to Robert Bigelow and his BASS organization. The people who came out of the woodwork to kill that program are some of the same people who are pushing back now. There are religious zealots who believe that UFOs, these strange things in the sky, are somehow related to satanic forces, and that by studying them might invite them or open up some kind of a hole into our world and put our souls at risk. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous for high-ranking Pentagon people or intelligence officials to say, but it happens to be true. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't think that that the public can handle it. That was the original reason for the cover-up from 1947 on, that it might create panic. And, I have to say that, Howard, it might. The fact is, we don't know what it is, what the ultimate answer is. Maybe they know something about this phenomenon that is truly disturbing, the ultimate reason why these things are here, a long-term experiment of some sort, genetic manipulation. Maybe they need something from us. That's why they're here. They're not bombing our cities or wiping us out with giant laser beams like in the movies, Independence Day. But their interest in us might not be in our interest. So there might be some really unsettling, world-shaking information behind this phenomena that we don't realize. So maybe that's a legitimate issue. And I think also the last issue is protecting our own butts. There are people who have manipulated this topic, who have hidden it, who have moved around national security money, billions of dollars, to keep this cover-up going. As one intelligence official told me one time, when it all comes spilling out, they will go to jail. They will go to prison. So they might have their own personal reasons for keeping the secrecy. So, it's a long, hard slog ahead, but we've made a good start. And I agree with you. It's going to be hard to put the genie back in the bottle.
Yep, I think it will be. And I think that history will show that to have been the fact. Where it's going to go from here, none of us, the three of us here, we don't know, but it's a fascinating journey. You talked about the goodies, George. Should I be watching the news wires? Have you got some more goodies in the pipeline for us?
Oh, Jeremy and I have some good stuff. We don't quite have the real goodies, the bodies or the craft. We do have information about along those lines. We haven't cracked that one yet, but we have some great stories ahead. We're going to keep plugging away, and hopefully we can help with a larger effort. There's a lot of people who've worked a long time on this, longer than I have, longer than Jeremy, who are really excited about where we are now. And I hope the momentum keeps going. I'm going to have to bail out on you, Howard. I'm glad we connected after all this time, and I hope we stay in touch.
I hope so too, George. Would love to speak with you again, and thank you very much for your time. Jeremy, thank you too. We'll stay in contact. We are living in interesting times, the most interesting of all, I think. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Howard. I appreciate you.
Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp. And before that, you heard Steve Bassett. In the middle of the most interesting time, I think, of our lives, if you're interested in UFOs, if you're interested in what the truth of all of this may be, and who may have been sitting on secrets for years, and why they might have done that, then this is perhaps going to be a revelatory period. We'll find out. Your thoughts, of course, always welcome. Please go to my website, theunexplained.tv. Follow the link, send me an email from there. It's always good to hear from you. You know, it's nice to get up in the mornings, click on the email inbox, and see who's got what to say about what, as they say. Thank you very much for being part of my show. More great guests in the pipeline here on The Unexplained. So until next we meet here online, please stay safe, please stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.